This is Dr. Max Schultz, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. And again, we count it our privilege and want to thank you for taking the time to write us, as a lot of people have done. And maybe if you're one who haven't, well, then we'd like to hear from you just to know that you're listening. You know, when we're out visiting, it's amazing to me that different times that people say, you know, well, we listen to you every week on the radio broadcast. And it's just a thrill to as you get around and you begin to visit different people, you find out how many are really listening to the radio broadcast, and that's really a thrill to us. But if you've never taken time to write, we hope you'll do so. We'll give our address at the conclusion of the broadcast, and we would love to hear from you. And just to know that, you know, we have another radio listener that's listening on Sunday morning. The only way that we know that is if you'll write us and tell us, and we would appreciate that. If you have your Bibles now, let us continue on our Bible study over here in the book of James, and we'll try to finish up the chapter here this morning. We're over here now and beginning here in verse 17, where the Bible tells us, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And then in verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Or should be, "The demons also believe and tremble." There's only one devil. When it's in the plural, it is demons. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" And then in verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar?" Now, again, we would like to stress, because you will ever be confused in your Christian life if you do not understand that the book of James is justification in man's eyes. This is not speaking about salvation now, but it's speaking about being justified in other people's eyes by the works you do that back up the faith that you say that you have. And it's a very interesting point here in verse 21 when it tells us, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar?" Now, I would mark this in my Bible if I didn't have it. "Was he not justified by works in man's eyes?" I would put that in my Bible there, because the book of James emphasizes that. Now, if that is not so, then we would like for you to go over here to the book of Romans here, and we've got to face something that is devastating unless you understand that there is justification in God's eyes for salvation. There is justification in man's eyes or other people's eyes when they look at you and they expect to see the works that accompany a Christian's life. In verse 21, he uses the point in Abraham's life in Genesis, and it is referring to Genesis chapter 22, when he offered up Isaac his son. This was many years after that he was saved. Now let's go to Romans, if you will, chapter 4, and we'll show you the so-called contradiction, unless you understand that there is justification in God's eyes, that's salvation. Justification in man's eyes, that's service. Now let's look here in Romans chapter 4, if you will, beginning here in verse 1. "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" Now he's asking the question here concerning Abraham's good works. What's he done out of the flesh? Then what about this? Verse 2, "For if Abraham were justified by works, then he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." In other words, if he could do enough good works to be justified in God's sight, then really, whereas he to glory, he can glory in himself, but he can't glory before God, because God wouldn't have anything to do with his salvation. Here Abraham would have worked for it himself. Notice in verse 3, For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, this Scripture here is referring now to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. It's a quote from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Now, this is the point in Abraham's life concerning the salvation point in his life. Now, notice here in verse 4. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if we can do enough good works, then is not the reward there reckoned of debt? In other words, God would owe us a debt because of our good works. It couldn't be of grace. And yet Ephesians tells us, for by grace are we saved, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now remember again, Romans emphasizes our right standing before God. In other words, we are justified by faith. That is salvation. And the point that we'd like to make, which is so confusing to many Christians, is the fact that sometimes you hear someone say, well, if you're saved, everything will change. No, that isn't true. There are many changes that take place. Number one is you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. You are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things passed away, or I should say old things passed away, all things become new. But that is not in the Christian's eyes. That is your standing before God. In other words, God looks upon you as a brand new creation. Old things are passed away. That's everything. Behold, all things become new. Why do all things become new? Because everything in the past is wiped clean. God says, I'll remove your sin as far as the east is from the west, and I'll never bring them into remembrance again. And this is our standing before the Lord. This is our position with Christ. This is our salvation, you see. Now, when a Christian is saved, not all things become new. Now, there are a lot of things. Sometimes a Christian will quit his smoking right away. Some of them will quit their drinking right away. Some of them will quit their cursing right away. And all those things are good, and they should do that. But it takes time to grow in patience. It takes time to grow as we study the Bible. In fact, in Peter, it tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all things, when a person is saved, do not become new in the eyes of the Christian. How many times have you in your Bible study since you've been saved found new things and things that God's convicted you of that He did not convict you of right immediately when you were a Christian, because the Word of God had not yet begun to work in your life? You had not had a knowledge of the Word of God. As you begin to attend church, you begin to study the Bible for yourself, and then allow the Word of God to work in your life, then you'll find many things that you'll see new, maybe a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. As I study the Bible and keep studying, I'm always finding something new. Not that it's new that it hasn't been there, because it has. But maybe I will study a book and read it again. Maybe I've read it 15, 20, 25 times. Then I always find something that the Holy Spirit brings out that I did not see before. And we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So we find out when we're saved that all things become new in God's eyes. That's our standing with God. That's our position with Christ. That's our salvation. But then we find out that we need to grow and possess the works and grow in the grace and knowledge and mature in our Christian life. And we do that. That takes experience. That takes trials. That takes testings. And that takes experience that Paul writes about so many times. And this comes with as we grow. Now, let us go back here to James again and look in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, go with me back here to where this is referring to now in the 22nd chapter here of the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 22. Now, in going back here, you'll begin to find out that this is when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar. Now, we find out from Hebrews that God had that Abraham had already considered his son Isaac dead, but he had faith that Christ would raise him from the dead. Instead, God provided a sacrifice. But the point we'd like to make is when Abraham took his son up on Mount Moriah to offer him, if you'll notice in verse 3 of the 22nd chapter, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac and so forth. Here he had two men with him. No doubt the testimony of Abraham had been heard by many. Now it came a time for him to prove his faith by his works. Now was going to come the time when people were going to believe what he said or not. Now comes the time when the proof is expected to be there. How many times a Christian talks about their faith, and then the first time they have a little trial or testing that comes their way, then they fall by the wayside. How many times a Christian have you heard testify, oh, how great it is to be saved, and talk about their faith in Christ, get mad at somebody in church, and then quit? How many times have you heard that? Well, over a number of years as being a pastor, I've seen it time after time. And yet the sometimes now, not always, and it's the exception, but sometimes you'll see this Christian, they'll talk about their faith, stand up in church, give testimonies and everything else, let one little thing happen, and out of church they go, and they pout, they get mad, and one thing or another, and it's very hard to get them back into church again. Well, what that reveals is, they could have been a Christian 5 years, they could have been a Christian 10 years, but what it reveals is the fact they did not prove their faith by their works, and other people see that and wonder, well, their faith must not have been very strong if it took something that small to get them to get out of church, to get them to go back into the world, then their faith must not have been very strong to begin with. So, you see, the important thing is not to just testify of our faith, because anyone can do that. But the thing that impresses lost people is, if we say that we have faith and have not works, our faith is dead. That means it falls on dead ears. They are not going to put any stock at all into what you say if you do not have the works to back it up. Look on down, if you will, in the 22nd chapter now, in verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Now the point is here, these men will believe the testimony of Abraham by seeing the faith that Abraham had. They seen the faith. They not only heard it now, but they seen the faith that Abraham had. And that's what God wants people to see in your life. They want him, want you to show your faith by your works. And it's not enough just to talk about it, not in order to win others to Christ. And remember this, God does not have to see your good works in order to know that he saved you. He knows that your faith is in Christ. He knows that. That faith may not be strong enough for you to go ahead and produce good works because of the old flesh and the old nature that we have, especially if you've not been reading your Bible, especially if you've not been associating with other Christians, especially if you've not been attending church regularly, then you begin to find out, you'll begin to let the old flesh take over, and you may talk about your faith, but you don't have the works to back it up. And therefore, it reveals one thing, your faith is very, very weak. Even though your faith is in Christ and you believe that he died for you, God says he'll honor that. He'll give you everlasting life. He'll never go back on his promise to you. But it does show that your faith is not strong as far as producing good works to win other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the point James is speaking about here. Our whole interest ought to be in winning others to Christ. After all, remember this. Someone influenced you and won you to Christ. There are other lost people out there also who are waiting for you to show them your faith. Not just talk about it, show them your faith, and therefore they'll put a lot more stock in what you say when they see what you say, not just listen to what you say. Now let's go back here to verse 19, which has been a very confusing statement to many, many people. It says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. And here's the philosophy put out even by some Baptists, I believe, that don't understand their Bibles. And that is, they say, well now, if the devils or the demons believe and they tremble and they're lost, then there's got to be more to salvation than believing. Well, that isn't true. And the point is, they missed the whole point.
If you'll notice, let's read this again in verse 19. They overlook one point. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. I would underline that in my Bible. You do well to believe just as the demons do, and who also believe, and they tremble. Then if God tells us that we do well to believe just like them, but they tremble, then what is the point that he's making? Then if we do well to believe like them, and they're lost and we're saved, what is the difference? What is the separation? Now, there are some that tell us, well, if you don't have works, well, then to back up your faith, you're lost. No, that isn't true. That's not the teaching of the Bible. And again, we are told that it is by grace that we save through faith, not of ourselves, a gift of God. In fact, in Romans 5, mentions five times the gift of God. And that's what it is. That's what salvation is. And not works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy has he saved us in Titus 3:5. Then what is the answer to this verse here in verse 19? The answer is simply this. The demons believe and tremble because they believe strong, they believe and tremble because they know they are lost. Do they believe? Absolutely. But they believe too late. What do you mean? If you recall, there was a third of the angels that fell with old Satan. And in Revelation 12, we're told his tail, the old dragon, his tail drew a third of the stars from heaven, referring to a third of the angels. And we find out that they followed old Satan. Some of their kin were thrown into Tartaro, some of the most wicked angels, and we begin to find out they do tremble. Now remember this, in the atmosphere where Satan is the prince of the power of the air, we're told in Ephesians 2:2, we find out that the demons have seen firsthand everything that you and I take by faith. They know there is a hell because they have seen hell. They know there is a Tartaro, translated hell. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down into hell, that is Tartaro, the only place that's mentioned in the Bible. But we find out the demons have seen that. They're in the spirit world. They see that. They have seen the angels of God. They have seen that. We take it by faith. They have seen firsthand and tremble because they know they made a mistake when they followed Satan, but it's irreversible. They cannot reverse their decision, just like the man in Luke chapter 16, if you remember that. Let's take just a second here and go over here to Luke chapter 16, where we have a believer that is in hell or in Hades, and let's go over there. In fact, I'm going to say this. There will come a time in God's plan when everyone ever born, everyone will be a believer. Now, they'll be lost, they'll be in hell, but there'll not be a person in hell who's not a believer. The only part is, they believe too late. Now, once you're there, there's no question about it. You may say on this earth, I don't believe there's a hell, but the minute you die and you plunge into hell, then you'll be a believer. You'll know there is a hell. The point is, you didn't believe when you were alive on the face of the earth. Now, you're alive, but without this body, have another body in hell that will not be consumed. You're a believer. Now, let's notice here in Luke chapter 16, if you will, and see about the rich man who died, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Notice here, if you will, in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, don't you remember in your lifetime you receive us the good things, likewise Lazarus the evil things? But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides this is a great gulf between us. Notice in verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, if they have Moses and the prophets, and if they hear them not, then he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now here was a man who was an unbeliever while he was alive upon the earth, but then when he was cast into Hades in torment, he was a believer immediately. Every person ever born eventually will be a believer, but it will not change their destiny. I remember when, George Foreman fought Muhammad Ali. Foreman never thought he could lose. But when they fought, he got knocked out. Now, he didn't believe that before it happened, but after it happened, he was a believer. He was a believer then. And the point we'd like to make in verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Other words, God tells us we do well to believe just like the demons, because we're taking by faith what they are seeing firsthand. They've seen the resurrection of Christ firsthand. They couldn't do anything to stop it. They've seen the crucifixion of Christ, thought they had everything in the bag. They seen it. You never seen Christ crucified. But you read it in the Bible and take it by faith. Sure, I do too. And that gives us everlasting life. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God says, we, taking by faith, even though we were not there when it happened, God wrote it down, said, you believe it. Then God said, you do well to believe like the demons. They tremble because they believe too late. But we believe just as strong as they do, then we do well, and that gives us eternal life because we are not believing too late. We're believing while there is still time left. Because once we die, the faith we had or did not have will be honored the minute we die and plunge into eternity. If you reject Christ, it won't be 1 second after that heart stops beating that you splash into Hades, into torment, total darkness, and therefore there'll be weeping, gnashing of teeth. You'll be a believer, but it'll be too late. Now, God asks us to believe as strong as you who are lost that die and go to hell, then you'll be a believer stronger than, it's unbelievable. You'll be a believer. God says, while you're alive on the earth, have that kind of faith and believe as strong as the guy who is experiencing it now. Even though he's lost, he's a believer. Because I honored his decision while he was alive upon the face of the earth. He died without faith, and he plunged into hell. In hell, he is now a believer. No question. You that are still alive on the earth, you have the same faith as that man who's experiencing it right now. Believe it exists. Some people say, well, you know, I'll tell you this, I believe hell's on the earth. Well, there are no churches in hell, there are no Christians in hell, and we got both here upon the face of the earth. No, hell is not on the face of the earth. And the minute you die with that philosophy, you'll plunge into hell in torment like the man in Luke 16, and you'll find out for the first time in your life, you'll be a believer, but it'll be too late. And God tells us here reminds us, in James here, thou doest well to believe just like the demons, thou doest well. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the last part of that verse says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation or deliverance. And you know, maybe you're listening for the first time to the radio broadcast, or maybe you've been listening Sunday after Sunday. You know what? You can be saved now while there's still time. Now, you may not be a believer, but we're asking you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. Believe like the demons who have seen all of this, and they believe and tremble because they know that they're going to end up in hell. You see, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. They tremble because they know their decision of unbelief when they followed Satan is irreversible, and their destiny is hell. No wonder they tremble. If you'll believe that as strong as the demons do and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll be passed from death unto life, and you'll never experience what they're trembling about now. You can have the same faith they have, only they had their faith too late, and their judgment is already pronounced. They are eternally lost. If you'll believe like they believe before it's too late, that is, before you die, you'll be passed from death unto life, not from death unto hell, and begin your first 1,000,000 years in torment with never a chance to get out. Total darkness, eternally lost, separated from God for all eternity because you waited too late. And God says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. right now. If you're listening to the broadcast, please don't put it off. Jesus Christ died for you to pay for your sins, as he did mine and everyone else. You see, God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever, that's your choice. You're not predestinated to hell. You're not chosen to heaven. You have a free will. And God says you stand totally responsible for your decision because God sent his Son for the sins of the world, which excludes no one. It is now up to you. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I hope you'll put your trust in Christ, and if you do, write us and let us know. We'd like to rejoice with you. We'd be so happy to know that you found Jesus Christ by listening to the broadcast. We'd like to rejoice with you in that decision.
But I see our time's gone. We'll pick it up here next week and continue on here. So let me ask you, what are you trusting? Are you trusting your self-righteousness? Or are you trusting the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for your sins and promised that whosoever believeth in him would never perish but have everlasting life? Well, thank you for joining with us, and I hope you'll continue next week and follow along in this series here. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is The Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.